Thank you. My grandson, Joshua. It's fascinating for me to be able to sit and just even hear and listen and see this experience through the eyes of others. You come to accept, I guess, so many things over the years when you keep going up there on a regular basis, and to hear it fresh from the perspective and the stories of others who've been there now with us has been just incredible. But I hope this just gives you a glimpse of what some of your youth and young adults are doing throughout this summer. And because there's others who are serving at other camps and other ministry opportunities and the whole bit too. And I hope they're going to get a chance to be able to share in the future so that you can be excited about this generation and what they're trying to do and what they are doing. The baptisms were, by the way, something that was pretty exceptional. We had, on Thursday night, we had three kids that wanted to be baptized. On Friday morning, we had two. And that was something I'd come to expect. We don't always offer baptisms at the church or at the camp. But this year we decided we would because we sensed that the Lord was leading us in that direction. We prayed about it for a couple of days amongst our leadership team and then decided we should do this. And then that morning, when the first two were getting ready to be baptized, all of a sudden other kids started coming forward. And I asked them all real serious questions like, do you know what this means? And you understand what it means? And you understand what you're doing here? You understand the commitment you're making? Da, da, da. Yes, yes, yes. And many of them in tears. And it was just an unbelievable outpouring of God's Spirit that we did not orchestrate. We didn't manipulate or set up the circumstances or the emotional moments or anything else like that. But God was just unbelievably at work that morning on that beach, bringing everything that had been happening throughout the week to that place. And it was just, it was truly an unbelievable moment. I will conclude this morning just with a short little bit from Judges and the story of Joshua. In many ways, this is me finishing as well, as best I can, the series that I started a while back before I headed up there in July and to the camp there. But in Judges chapter 7, let me just highlight a few things for you and that are so important here. And the first is this. Joshua is up against an army of 135,000. That's what he's up against. And when he puts out the call to arms, he gets an army of 32,000. And God looks at him and says, you got too many. You have too many. And he whittles down that army to 300 that Joshua gets that he's left with. Have you ever wondered in your life if God looks at the problems the same way you do? Is God seeing the same story that you're seeing? And believe me, there's been many times in my life where I honestly would feel like Gideon and I'd be looking back at God and going, really? 32,000 against 135,000 is too many? And then you bring me down to 300? You're going, okay. God says, okay, 300. We'll do it with 300. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, are you and I both looking at the same moments in my life right now that I'm dealing with? Are we both realizing what's going on? And I really enjoyed the worship songs that Jesse chose this morning because I felt like they reflected that same sentiment and feeling of God. The moment just seems completely overwhelming to me. And yet God is sitting in the heavens going, it's not to me. He said, you see the battle, I see the victory. That was one of the songs we sang this morning. And I thought that was beautiful. The other thing I thought was beautiful in this passage that I want to highlight for you, and I guess because it means a lot to me as well, and that is that there is that incredible moment during the night where God kind of says to Gideon again, hey, Gideon, and that I'm about to deliver them into your hands. But if you're still afraid, if you're still afraid. And I like that God recognizes that. I like that God recognizes the fact that we can be afraid. And it's okay. He didn't look at him and say to him at that point, Gideon, I sense some fear in you. It should be faith. It should not be fear. Could you immediately turn that into faith, please? Because if I'm going to use you, you need faith. You need faith to believe in who I am and what I can do. And I've already made the promises to you. I've told you what I'm going to do. Now you stop with the fear already. Get with the faith. Now, I am playing that out. But I want to be able to let you know that I've heard it preached way too many times. Way too many times. That you have to constantly simply be replacing your fear with faith. You know what? It's okay to be afraid. it's okay to be afraid. And God affirms that right here. In light of what you're facing, it's okay to be afraid. And by the way, if you're still afraid, Gideon, go with your servant, the one you trust the most. And by the way, go as close to the camp as you can. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm afraid of something, telling me that I've got to get closer to it does not help. Does that make sense? And now, when I'm doing counseling, craziness is that I've learned over the years that I have to often say to them, you need to embrace your fear. We need to embrace it. Let's do it together. Let's go. Let's embrace this fear. But telling me I have to get closer to it, honestly, that's terrifying. But that's where God sends him. Can you imagine Gideon taking that first step with his servant? Can you imagine his servant trusting Gideon so much that he looks at him and says, I'll go with you to the outskirts of the enemy camp. No problem. And they do. And they get closer and closer and closer so they can hear a conversation between two of the guards. That's close. That's unbelievably close. And what do they hear? They arrive right at the right time when one of them shares with the other one, I had this nightmare last night. What was it? A barley loaf, a big, giant barley loaf of bread. In other words, the poor man's bread. The least expensive piece of bread you can buy. The poor man's bread came rolling into the camp, hit one of the tents, and just devastated it. And the other guy says to him, oh, I know what that dream means. That's Gideon. He's the poor man, the insignificant one, the one who is considered nothing in Israel. And by the way, he's coming. And guess what? He's going to beat us all. Isn't that amazing that the enemy sometimes has a greater understanding of what God's going to do than we do? Than we do. Faced against the odds. And I like what it says here that Gideon did at this point. And that in this, it says that it would help too if I was in Judges and not Joshua. Here we go. He says here, Gideon heard the man explain what the dream meant. And Gideon bowed down and he worshipped. And he worshipped. Now, can I please tell you what it doesn't mean when it says that he bowed down and he worshipped? He did not suddenly, within hearing distance of the guards, go, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That's the message we've been waiting for. Oh, yes, the victory is ours. We're going forward now. That was not what he did. Does that make sense? That might have defeated everything. What I want you to be able to appreciate, though, in that what this passage is referring for us and moments that you and I should look for in our journey with Jesus, no matter what we're facing, and that is this. What it means is this. He was overcome with the moment, realizing had God had led him with perfect timing, in sovereignty, in care, and in love, recognizing the fear going on inside of him, and led him to this moment where he overheard this conversation that spoke life into what it was he was called to do. And he was in awe of who God is. He was in awe. And that's what this is picking up on here for us. Have you had those moments in your life and in your journey where all of a sudden you just come before the Lord God of the universe, the living God of the universe, the one who loves you with a love that is pure and so unbelievably intense and wants to be at work in your story, showing the magnitude of his power and care? And have you been in those moments where you've come up to the edge of that which you fear? And you've been in awe. You've been in awe of who God is and what it is that he's able to do. May God continue to lead each one of us on that journey.